8.
Michael Reid on LMFM.
Now, this weekend, the Citizens' Assembly on Drugs will meet again. It's the third meeting of this particular Citizens' Assembly. They'll be in the Grand Hotel, where they will be considering health-led and community-based measures for dealing with the way drugs are consumed in this country. Let's speak to the chairperson of the Citizens' Assembly, Paul Reid, who's on the line. A very good morning to you, and thank you indeed for joining us on the programme. And when you look at examples of health-led and community-based measures, you're going to be speaking to people from Portugal and Austria, which you say lead the way in reducing the harmful impacts of drugs use. How is that when these drugs are decriminalised in these countries?
Good morning, Michael. And yes, as you mentioned, it is our third meeting, and if you like, we're now starting the process of looking at, you know, some potential solutions that might be applied. If you take the second meeting that we had, it was very much looking at the human impact of individuals on families, on communities, on society in general, of illicit drug use, where harm is caused. But now we're beginning to look at what might be the solutions. As you said, we will look at some of the health-led approaches here in Ireland by some of the statutory, community, voluntary services providers, and also looking at international experiences. There's much quoted discussion related to Portugal, but also we'll be looking at Austria, and in following assembly meetings, looking at the experience in the international countries and administrations about how they've approached it, what's the progress, what's been the benefits of changes they've made in decriminalisation or legislation or regulation.
Is it that they've put their hands up and said that the war on drugs has failed? Let's look at an alternative way of dealing with a situation where people are taking drugs, regardless of the law.
Well, yes, I think it's a kind of realistic and pragmatic approach to say that, you know, if in many countries where they've moved to decriminalisation, where they say, look, if you try to treat the individual, you know, particularly in the cases where it may be for just self-possession, self-usage and not distribution. And there is much confusion around a lot of the language that's used, not here and internationally. So, you know, the differentiation between what legalisation means and decriminalisation might mean, you know, they're very different and very different approaches. So, for example, in Portugal, where they have decriminalised, it's still a penal offence, but they do treat the individual through a health-led approach and get them into services in a very different way than we may. Some of the, back to your earlier question, you know, what have been the pros and cons of that? That's exactly what we want to fill in the bonnet and question some of the people who will come across this weekend to present from Portugal and Austria. There is evidence that they have reduced the numbers of deaths related to drugs, which is a very significant issue for us. We have a high level of deaths related to drug usage. So we will want to examine and explore that a bit further.
Yeah, and
but there
are
real concerns around legalisation. Sorry, there are real concerns around legalisation around, you know, Garda Síochána have expressed them to us at the Assembly. If you legalise, you know, the knock-on potential implications could be, you know, drug tourism and issues that. So there's many knock-on intended and unintended consequences from changes made. So we want to evaluate it carefully.
Is drugs tourism a bad thing?
Well, I mean, there's real implications in terms of what that might, some further harm that may cause here. And, you know, that's exactly some of the issues here. Certainly from the Garda Síochána's perspective, and the Assembly will consider all views on this. They've clearly set out to us what the concerns would be related to that. Some of the harm caused, some of the harm caused for our health system related to it. But again, the Assembly has taken a very open view to date, and I've been really impressed with the Assembly members, how they've evaluated all the information to date and still exploring. But we are moving to, in terms of the Assembly process, moved in a very different position now. And it's timely, actually, just if I can mention it, the Health Research Board here in Ireland issued a report just this morning, which shows a very changing nature of drug usage in Ireland. And when you have a very changing nature in the problem, it does require a very changing and innovation approach to whether it's our legislation or it's our policy or our services. So it is very timely, and when the problem is changing and shifting, so do we need the solutions.
Yeah, I think cocaine is of particular concern at the moment. It's the one drug that people need help with more than any other drug, more than heroin, which I think it's crack cocaine, which is particularly addictive, isn't it? Would you have fewer people needing help if you decriminalised that drug?
Well, just on the drug itself, for we talk about health, cocaine, you're correct, has now overtaken. It's now overtaken heroin. It's the most common used drug. It's now one third of the treatment cases here in Ireland. Heroin's number two, cannabis number three. And particularly for the, you know, if you say the issue of crack cocaine and powder cocaine distinction, 80% of the addiction is related to powder cocaine, but increasing use now, 20% relate to crack cocaine. So very different issues. The issue of would it be any easier if you just legalised all use of cocaine? Again, an issue the Assembly members, I won't take positions on any of this just yet because we four more Assemblies to get through. But that's exactly what we re-evaluate, you know, pros and cons, intended consequences, unintended consequences.
Yeah, because when you've got such an addiction, you have to fund it, and it's a very expensive habit, and that leads to people breaking into houses and girls becoming prostitutes, and then the policing that's involved in all of that as well. I suppose they're the obvious cons.
Well, what we did here from the full Assembly meeting, the second Assembly meeting just in the previous month, was some of the very significant harm caused. And it was really quite an emotive Assembly meeting we had back in May, where we heard some of the real harm caused to individuals, to families, to communities caused by drug uses. Some much of the issues relate to stigmatisation in communities. We do know drug usage is very pervasive across Ireland, and that comes through in today's report from the Health Research Board. Mm. But we also know it hurts marginalised communities much harder. So, you know, it is a very generic problem, but it does hit hard in some communities, particularly those who are in a lower socioeconomic class status and areas of higher social deprivation. And that can be related to many issues, not just drugs, but investment in services, investment in education, investment in health services, etc.
Okay, people may have read part of Peter Murta's article in the Irish Times. He's travelling around North America on a motorbike, and he's in British Columbia at the moment, and he was visiting a new factory, if you like, that's going to produce cannabis. They're building the factory for €1.4 million, and that feeds into the story that he tells of a gold rush, or a green rush, as he puts it, because cannabis is the new gold, it would seem, in Canada, and it is unbelievably popular. It's the highest taxed product, apparently, in Canada, which is bringing a lot of money in for the government. But there's no end to the way that people are consuming it. There was a photograph in the paper of a bakery, and the menu just seemed to be endless. He writes that you can go into one of the shops there and buy joints, dried flowers, oils, bath bombs, drinks and other oral consumption items like sweets and biscuits. People are taking it for medicinal reasons, for pain and so on. He spoke to a former Border Patrol police officer, Cameron Derskin, who's now in the cannabis trade. He says, is it good for society? Well, time will tell. But the time and energy and money spent on arresting and putting people into jail for something less harmful than getting drunk on a Friday night hasn't been much good either. That makes a lot of sense logically, does it not?
Well, we did here in the previous Assembly some of the harm that's caused community by criminalisation. So, you know, if people are caught, and sometimes a smaller position, if they are brought through the court service, if they are criminalised, it can lock them into a criminal system for life. And that's a big cost in society, big cost on the taxpayer. So we did hear some of the harm. And even people who try break out and do break out of addiction still have this criminal conviction hanging over them, which curtails them. So, if you like, it gets into a very vicious cycle. So there is a very significant voice and a strong voice, and we're getting significant submissions, I've no doubt, which makes a case that in many cases cannabis, criminalising people who may use cannabis for their own possession, for their own usage, gets people into that vicious cycle. Now, we will hear that view, but we will also hear that view from some medics, some psychologists, of the real harms,
psychosis,
and evidence of psychosis, and what that can lead to for people. And there is evidence of, again, in today's HRB report, of those who are 19 years and under, cannabis is the most significant drug use. So, we need to consider all aspects.
But it's not just young people. Sorry, Paul. It's not just young people. And I was just going to mention it to you. I thought that was the most fascinating part of that report from Peter Murta in the Irish Times. You'd be looking at two outlets which sit side by side on Baker Street in Canada. And he talked about the very ordinary people who were shopping there. He said it was a mix of retirees and others in their 60s, middle-aged couples, and, he said, younger people, perhaps mainly in their 30s.
Oh, yeah, and I was merely just giving the evidence from Ireland, if you like, of, if you take 20 to 24-year-olds here in Ireland, the main treatment that's used here is for, applied here, is for cocaine. In that age groups, in the over 35s, it's opioids and heroin, and then in under 19, it's cannabis. So that's just evidence from Ireland, but certainly we are looking at, and there is evidence from the US and indeed Canada, kind of approaches that they have taken, and they certainly are at more an advanced age in understanding the evidence now. Benefit, pros and cons, if you like, and that's what we will be evaluating. But there is a voice, as I've said here, and we will hear that voice. We heard the voice at our last meeting of some people. We heard it from younger people who feel that they use certain drugs and don't receive harm or haven't experienced harm. We're hearing a balanced set of voices.
Now, you certainly are hearing from a lot of people. How many submissions have you had at this stage?
Yeah, at this stage, and thanks for saying that, because I do want to encourage more submissions. Right now, to date, we have well over 450, somewhere between 450 and 500 submissions received to date. The closing date for submissions is before the end of June, so I'd encourage anybody and everybody, both individuals, organisations, communities, voluntary organisations, to continue to make submissions for us. And the one piece I will just add on this one, Michael, is I'm very keen and anxious as chair of the Assembly that we also focus on the services, because, a lot of the debate can be very publicly and understandably on legislation, regulation, decriminalisation. But when you talk to people who are working in the services, their real concern is organisation of services, alignment of services, issues around dual diagnosis of mental health and drug addiction, issues of funding, issues of recruitment. So, I do want to make sure we give, and as part of our terms of reference, a very strong focus on the services, which is exactly what this weekend's assembly is about, looking at all of those organisations.
And what about services that would hope to prevent people from drug use or divert them from a life of crime, which is quite often the case? Seems that quite a lot of community work comes along at a stage where it's almost too late, that you'll never reach the young people who've already strayed, if you like.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I mean, as there's good evidence of success rates, and the Assembly members visited Kilmaine Addiction Services and also Merchants Quay Addiction Services in Dublin City last month. And there's very strong evidence as people access those services, success rates of people coming through and moving their lives on. But we will later in September Assembly meeting be looking at the whole issue of education and prevention. And that goes beyond the service providers. It goes beyond the, if you like, the statutory bodies like the HSE or Gardaí Síochána. It gets into our education system. It gets into our whole social fabric of awareness, education and prevention.
Okay.
So that's something we'll be looking at for a later assembly as well. So this one will look at health ed approaches, local partnerships, treatment, recovery, supports for young people. If you like, a flip of the one we looked at last month, where it was the individual impact and harm. Now looking at services, and where there are some very good successes and innovation, we want to scale up.
Okay, well, look, thank you for talking to us once again. We'll be watching the events over the weekend with great interest and indeed following the course of your meetings over the coming months. And thanks, as I say, for joining us on the programme.
Thanks to you, Michael, for your continued interest.
Thank you indeed. That's Paul Reid, who is the chairperson of the Citizens' Assembly on Drugs Use.